NTSB rules in the emergency landing of the Obama campaign jet. Weekend pilots continue to provide investigators with job security. And volunteers resume the search for the only missing World War II wasp. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, September 23, 2009. In the case of that incident in July of last year, in which then-Senator Barack Obama's chartered campaign jet made an uneventful emergency landing in St. Louis following a control system issue, the National Transportation Safety Board has determined that the inadvertent inflation of an evacuation slide inside the tail cone of that MD-81 is what caused binding of the elevator control cables. Contributing to the incident was the evacuation slide cover failing to be secured to the floor fittings on the walkway. Post-incident inspection revealed that the plane received minor damage to the evacuation slide, a walkway, and a set of elevator cables. Shortly after the incident, the carrier released a maintenance bulletin describing the incident, along with a revision to the service check agenda, which added specific instructions for maintenance personnel to verify proper slide installation. Boeing, the manufacturer now responsible for the type, has also agreed to publish a Fleet Digest article to notify other carriers. A Piper Saratoga en route from Gainesville, Florida to Fort Lauderdale went down Sunday evening near the Broward-Palm Beach County line. Four people were reportedly aboard the aircraft. Late yesterday, area media reported all four bodies had been recovered and identified. The Miami Herald reports the pilot reported engine problems before going down in a swampy area west of U.S. Highway 27 in South Florida. The FAA said it hit the ground near a levee. Media reports indicated it hit nose down. South Florida's CBS4 TV reports that family members have confirmed that the victims were 46-year-old pilot Bruce Barber of Fort Lauderdale, whose company owned the plane, his wife Karen, their 13-year-old son Peyton, and 46-year-old Philip Marsh of Coral Springs, a family friend. Officials had not confirmed those identities as of our deadline. The four had reportedly spent the weekend in Gainesville, attending the Florida-Tennessee football game on Saturday. The NTSB will investigate. Transport Canada is investigating the crash of a Seawind 3000 near Mission Golf Course in Vancouver, BC on Saturday. Witnesses reported hearing what sounded like the plane with engine problems just before impact. 63-year-old pilot and aircraft co-owner Philip DeRitter was said to have been seriously injured. His partner in the plane, Dr. Gabor Balov, told the Vancouver Sun DeRitter is a good pilot and the plane has been trustworthy. Quote, "We've flown that thing individually all over North America, Alaska, to the East Coast, everywhere. It's a well-built plane, all the scheduled maintenance has been done, and the engine was running really well. We keep it in top shape." Unquote. An all-volunteer team, which includes the guys who found the sunken UB-88 U-boat in California's Catalina Channel, will bring a large focused effort to solving one of the remaining mysteries of World War II. Gertrude V. Tommy Tompkins Silver is the only missing WASP, or Women's Air Force Service pilot, from World War II. She disappeared without a trace after taking off from what is now LAX in a North American P-51 Mustang on a mission to ferry the plane to Newark, New Jersey. The UB88.org team will be joined by an expedition of highly qualified divers, boat captains and their crews, aircraft and marine archaeologists, multi-beam and side-scan technicians, and members of the Explorers Club and the Missing Aircraft Search Team. The searchers say they'll update the media on their efforts October 4th at the Western Museum of Flight at Torrance Airport in California. Up next on ANN, the FAA approves Honeywell's latest twist on GPS. Space researchers are excited about commercial launch opportunities. And a Russian team joins the race for the Google Lunar X Prize. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for September 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA Monday gave approval to Honeywell's SmartPath Precision Landing System, another GPS-based system providing enhanced precision. The first approved system is being installed in Memphis and will become operational early next year. Air Services Australia is expected to approve a system at Sydney Airport in the near future. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt commented, quote, "The approval of Honeywell's system marks the successful completion of a partnership between the FAA and Air Services Australia to build and certify a ground-based augmentation system. We expect GBAS to become an asset to airports around the world," unquote. GBAS monitors GPS signals to detect errors and transmits correction messages to aircraft via local radio broadcast. It's similar in concept to the older differential GPS and the newer wide area augmentation system, but it's scaled to a specific airport using ground-based transmitters. The FAA's next-gen implementation plan identifies GBAS as an enabler for descent and approach operations to increase capacity at crowded airports. The Honeywell system is approved for precision approach operations down to 200 feet and is expected to eventually enable zero-zero minima. The Commercial Spaceflight Federation is pleased to announce its co-sponsorship of NSRC, the Next Generation Suborbital Researchers Conference, in conjunction with the Southwest Research Institute and the university's Space Research Association. The conference will be held in Boulder, Colorado, February 18th through the 20th, and will allow scientists, engineers, and educators to learn about the research and education capabilities of commercial suborbital spacecraft and to foster a conversation between the research community and the commercial spaceflight industry. Researchers are already excited about the opportunities presented by private sector space companies. NSRC organizer Dr. S. Alan Stern of the Southwest Research Institute observes, quote, "The dramatically lower cost and dramatically higher flight rates of the human-rated and robotic suborbital vehicles now emerging from design to factory floor and flight will transform spaceflight from the rare to the routine. NSRC is an opportunity for researchers and educators across engineering and the spectrum of space and earth science fields to exchange ideas and make concrete plans for early research missions, some beginning as soon as 2011, unquote. For more info, follow the link from the bottom of the text version of this story, dated September 22nd, at aero-news.net. Team Selenicod, a Russian group of engineers and managers, announced its official entry into the Google Lunar XPRIZE competition on Monday. The $30 million competition challenges space professionals and engineers to build and launch a privately funded spacecraft to the moon and use it to complete a series of exploration and transmission tasks. Team Selenicod, which is headquartered in Moscow, is among 20 teams with members from a total of 44 countries competing for a share of that prize. Team leader Nikolay Dzizvoinarovsky commented in part, and we'll leave his exact wording intact here, quote, "The contribution progress of private sector in cosmonautics is worldwide trend nowadays. The previous international contest, Ansari XPRIZE, showed that non-government companies create space technologies needed to achieve ambitious goals. Team Selenicod wants Russian companies to evaluate the experience of their foreign colleagues, to understand big opportunities of private space exploration, and join us in our challenging project," unquote. Noting the space exploration heritage of the Russians, William Pomerantz, Senior Director of Space Prizes at the XPRIZE Foundation, commented regarding the Moon 2.0 era, quote, "That era wouldn't be complete without the involvement of Russia's talented workforce," unquote. Still ahead, big names are coming to Bombardier's safety stand-down. College students get a Learjet to practice on. And you can soon buy aircraft insurance like car insurance. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, September 23rd. I'm Paul Plack. Bombardier has announced the speakers list for its 13th Safety Stand-Down event, being held in Wichita, Kansas at the Hyatt Regency from September 28th to October 1st. The company says FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, NTSB Chairman Deborah Herzman, and NBAA President Ed Bolin will deliver opening remarks, and a host of industry experts and dignitaries are counted among presenters over the 3 days. Bombardier says the event is fully booked, but the website says registration is still open. You can find more detail on the presenters list and an FMI link for more information in the text version of this story, dated September 22nd, at aero-news.net. Students in airframe and power plant and advanced electronics technology avionics at Redstone College in Denver have a classy new plane on which to practice their new skills. A 1976 Learjet 24D that was used to set and still holds 5 international climb records is being loaned permanently to the school by the Spirit of Flight Center, a Colorado-based nonprofit air museum. Mike Cooling, Redstone College campus president, observed, quote, "Our job is to provide employers with the most qualified candidates and, most importantly, our students with the opportunity to succeed in this growing field. The Learjet will be used to accomplish these objectives and is evidence of our commitment to providing a hands-on education," unquote. According to the U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics, jobs for aircraft and avionics equipment mechanics and service technicians will jump by more than 10% by 2016. Redstone offers an 18-month curriculum focusing on hands-on learning and claims 93% of its graduates get a job in their career field after earning FAA certification. And finally today, Aggressive Insurance, based in Irving, Texas, says it's bringing 21st century technology and an advanced delivery system to the aviation segment. Specifically, the company is leveraging systems developed for auto insurance to aviation, including online application and real-time quotes, underwriting, and policy issuance. Company President Richard Asprey says adapting the technology was straightforward. Quote, "After all, there is a common concept between auto and aircraft in that both have liability and physical damage components, as well as operators, use classes, and territorial considerations," unquote. And just as safety advances such as anti-lock brakes and airbags get you discounts in the automotive segment, Aggressive plans to offer a 10% discount for BRS. The company will launch the aviation product in Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Texas. Hopes to grow to 40 states during its first year and be nationwide within 2 years. You know, that sounds great, but no reptilian mascots, please. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, the FAA's Brian Neville talks about stress, its effects on pilots, and what we do about it. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts on iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.